views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Light shines on Lyme disease. Limelight Radio with Katina Makris is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential to expand awareness and activate change to eliminate Lyme disease for good. Limelight Radio is a much-needed venue for the USA's number one fastest-spreading infectious illness. Katina is an award-winning author, a natural healthcare practitioner with over 30 years' experience, and most importantly, a healing force with her own personal Lyme journey. Be part of a movement to help end the suffering and confusion surrounding Lyme disease and begin to take action. Now here's your host, Katina Makris. Then I go to
my... Good afternoon, everyone. This is Katina Makris, and welcome to Limelight Radio. It's a beautiful early autumn day in New England, and I have to say we have a great show today. We've got David Roth with us, and we've got John Donnelly, who some of you remember from his cycle across America. But first, we're going to start off with David Roth, and let me tell you about him, and then we can get into a great conversation. David Roth is currently co-chairman of the Tick-Borne Disease Alliance and is deeply involved in helping bring awareness and support to America on tick-borne diseases. With the enormous philanthropic work he helps spearhead at TBDA, David Roth has seen up close and personal just how widespread the Lyme disease epidemic is and how devastating tick-borne diseases are to an individual, their family, and communities. The fundraising efforts of TBDA, the community outreach they create, and the attempt to generate political change and promote more research into these complex illnesses is never ending. I've personally worked with David and know how committed he is to helping amend the suffering and confusion surrounding tick-borne diseases. David Roth is a managing director in Blackstone's real estate group and is based in New York City. And David Roth, welcome to Limelight Radio.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate being on.
Oh, it's great to have you back. We haven't had you on in quite some time now.
I know. It's been a while. It's been too long. I mean, I think we last spoke during John's ride, and we should do it more regularly.
We should. We definitely, because you always have so much news to share with us what's going on with Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, which for our listeners, if you're new to Limelight Radio, Tick-Borne Disease Alliance is really one of the premier foundations in the United States that's doing a lot of great work for tick-borne illnesses. So, David, bring us up to date. You've got so much going on. What's happening?
Yeah, I mean, it's been insanely busy, so really appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit about what we've been working on. And really, our goal is to, find ways to really meaningfully change the playing field as it relates to tick-borne diseases and really move both the research forward as well as awareness. And it's sort of a multi-pronged approach. As many people know, we announced a few months ago that we're merging with the Lyme Research Alliance. This is a terrific group of folks that we've known for some time who are based in Connecticut. They're the leading research-oriented foundation focused on tick-borne diseases. That merger is pending Attorney General approval, which is coming shortly. So we're really excited, spending a ton of time with them. That's going to give us, a great platform to really understand the science and help move the science forward. We are totally complementary with what they do, and we had been sort of fundraising in the same pond, as it were. They're in Connecticut, we're in New York, so it made a ton of sense. It's going to allow us to, increase our staffing and really sort of be much more effective, I think, going forward. We've got a really interesting biorepository program that we've been working on, a big challenge with coming up with some of the key things for Lyme disease, in particular our lack of good diagnostics. And one of the problems is that the technology providers of diagnostics don't have samples, biosamples, which is basically blood samples. This was something that we've been working on for several years now, and it finally came off the, we finally got it off the ground. We did a joint venture that we've had for the last year and a half with the Bay Area Lyme folks, another terrific group out on the West Coast, to create this biorepository. We started this summer. We did a round of collection in one site. So we are up and running on that effort, and we think that's going to be terrific. It's controlled by TBDA, ultimately the merged entity, and on Bay Area Lyme. We've been spending a lot of time on the.
Can I ask you a question about that, David, before you leave that subject? So with these collection samples, what are you doing? Are you getting people that are newly infected with Lyme disease or across the board?
So initially, the low-hanging fruit is the patient who is initially infected. So what we're trying to do is capture the moment in time between infection and somebody going on antibiotics to try to one of the challenges is as people become chronically ill. The number of factors involved in why they become chronically ill, dramatically goes up. The low-hanging fruit, we've got to find better diagnostics, and you have to start with people who you know are infected, actively infected, and are early stage. And so that's the first step. But ultimately, we hope to have a biorepository that also includes what's called a registry biorepository, which includes the chronically infected as well. So that we can, work on trying to figure out why they remain ill, exactly what's going on in the body, and ultimately, better therapies.
Yes, so important. So important. Okay, so yeah, you've gave me a little framework there, so I understand that. Okay, so yeah.
And that's a multi-year effort. That's, we're going to be raising money specifically for that effort. It's going to be its own nonprofit organization that will collect samples, hopefully in multiple sites around the country, and then be, the CDC has one of these as well, where they've got a biorepository. We've got some issues with how they've put it together, and, we're going to do it a little bit differently, but we'll have the ability to provide samples to researchers that currently are involved in Lyme research, and we hope it will also attract researchers from outside the field, because today, you might have something, a technology or an approach that might be helpful for Lyme, but it's pretty daunting. In order to do research in this field, you have to spend, a year or two collecting samples before you can even start doing the research. Mm-hmm. So one of the goals is to sort of provide that biorepository, which, will serve, we hope, to bring new thoughts and new leadership, from outside the Lyme research community, as well as supporting those that are currently doing research in the field.
Right. So you might end up drawing in some biotech researchers that might be working on something else totally different, but they've already got the mechanics and the know-how in place.
Exactly. And it's what we desperately need to do is we need to raise massive amounts of money. And the people that will provide that money, high net worth individuals can only do so much. You got to have the government involved, and we've been spending a lot of time. We can go into some of the legislative efforts. You got to have the government involved, and you've got to have private industry interested in getting involved in research into, diagnostics and therapies for Lyme and other tick-borne diseases. And we hope the biorepository will be a good step towards, bringing more interest from biotech and venture capital ultimately.
Mm-hmm, because it's a scientific quotient and people can relate to that more distinctly. It's a known entity versus just, you and I know, as much of the community does, the personal suffering is a real story. But when we go towards science, that's something that's literal and people can really target.
Yeah, I mean, look, the suffering is awful. I got involved with this because I thought there was this massive social injustice that was occurring. And, you know, I was personally affected, continue to be affected by it. And I'm somebody who, you know, has been lucky. I've been able to search out and find the doctors that I want to go to. I cannot imagine how terrible it is for people who are suffering from this or have children suffering and get treated the way they do by the medical community, by the insurance company. And so, you know, to me, it was like we've had this conversation before. It was sort of a calling. I felt like I needed to find meaning in what was going on in my life, and it couldn't just be about my suffering. And so, you know, the suffering aspect of it is awful. And you know, but we've got to attack it, I think, from the science angle to really make a difference long term.
Yeah, I hear you, and I agree, and it's time, and things are lining up, and your hard works at TBDA are pointing in the right direction like a compass needle. So, David, we have a lot more ground to cover here with you. We've only touched the tip of the iceberg in learning of what you've been so busy at with Tick-Borne Disease Alliance this past year since we last talked, but it's time for me to take our first station break. So stay with me.
I have to stop talking so much.
No, you're doing fabulous.
The half hour is going too fast.
It goes too fast. No, you have so much to inform us on. So audience, stay with us. We're taking a quick station break. I'm going to be back with David Roth from Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, and we're going to learn more about the great work that they're doing and some interesting work that's really breaking news on the political end of Lyme disease. This is Katina Makris with Limelight Radio. We'll be right back.
We've already said
tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Makris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit limelightradio.com.
What if there was no right or wrong way to be a great parent? Join Access Consciousness Facilitator Glenna Rice as she and Dr. Pat invite you to be the questionable parents you truly are and empower you to know and give the awareness required to create ease and joy with your children. Join Dr. Pat and Glenna as they focus on parenting for the modern family. Tune in every month to the Dr. Pat Show on air and online at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, identify your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst and clairvoyant who uses her intuitive and energetic gifts to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
Tune in to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to light bearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope, and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life.
We've already said
welcome back to Limelight Radio, everyone. This is Katina Makris, and we are visiting with David Roth from Tick-Borne Disease Alliance in New York City. Congratulations, David, on that exciting news of the merger with Lyme Research Alliance. That's really,
really
tremendous.
That.
Yeah, I'm so impressed that these two enormous groups came together and now you can work together. It's a huge step.
We are, you know, one of our goals is to be collaborative with all groups that, you know, want to work with us. So we, you know, we've had the effort with the biorepository with Bay Area Lyme folks. We're merging with LRA. You know, we've done a lot of work and have been part of the PAL effort. You know, we've got a whole host of rides and walks that we do with groups around the country, which you've been involved with on a number of them. We really, really appreciate your involvement. So we really think that the Lyme community has been, you know, there's been division in the Lyme community, and really, if, in our opinion, the only way that we're going to really make a difference is if we find ways to work together and come together. And so we're always open to teaming up with groups that, you know, think the way we do in that respect.
I know. You've been wonderful about that. And I've, as you said, I've joined you in a number of different events. We've got some this weekend coming up in Nashua that John Donnelly is going to share with us in a little bit. And, you know, it's grassroots that you all have been reaching out. I mean, all these different areas that, you know, you've touched and brought communities together, I think is wonderful.
Appreciate that. It's really important. I mean, I think that, you know, AIDS and what happened in the AIDS crisis is really the model. And that was a combination of patient activism with good science. And so you need both. And, you know, we value both. And so, you know, the local community is also where people are suffering most. And so it's really important for us to do these outreach type events where we end up, you know, raising money for whatever the local group wants to do. And, you know, we end up raising some money for us. But more importantly, we end up, you know, creating what I hope are lifelong, you know, bonds with the different guys that we do do these events with.
You do. I know you do. And you've made inroads into different areas, whether it's West Coast, the South, New England, et cetera. So, David, what's on my mind, because it's been, you know, front and center for us all this past week, is the Tick-Borne Disease Research Transparency and Accountability Act of 2014, that piece of legislature that just got passed. Can you share with our listeners about that, the whole concept
Sure.
of it and what it means?
Yeah, I mean, let me just take 30 seconds of the limited time we have to say that, you know, we've been working on legislative efforts at the federal and within certain states, state level for some time. And, you know, that's really because we think there needs to be awareness at the government level if we're going to make a difference. There needs to be, you know, specific things dealt with, like we are the bill we're trying to get passed in New York State, which has gotten through the Assembly and Senate, the first bill that's ever done that. We were working, you know, it was really myself and a whole host of other advocates from New York State. It's now on the governor's desk. If anybody knows the governor, Governor Cuomo, please reach out to them and ask him to sign it, which, you know, it's a patient's rights bill that in essence, you know, ensures that patients have choice in treatment by protecting doctors who treat with, you know, alternative treatments such as longer term antibiotics. So it's really, really important, and we hope it passes soon. At the federal level, obviously, you know, the massive import of doing things at the federal level is that the federal government, with a stroke of the pen, can massively increase funding for research. And that's the ultimate goal. H.R. 4701 was introduced by a terrific man, a guy named Congressman Chris Gibson, who is from upstate New York, worked with us on the New York effort. He has been educated by a couple of terrific people, Chris Fisk and Holly Ahern up in upstate New York, learned about Lyme and really has made it a reason for his running and an important part of a priority for him. So for a whole host of like political reasons, we were able to accomplish in the last 3 or 4 months something that, you know, people have been working on for a very long time, which is getting a federal bill through the House. It was passed several weeks ago. We're now, you know, working on getting it through the Senate, given how long there is left in the session before the reelection and then, you know, a new Congress starts in January. It's like a triple high dive, a triple Lindy from the high dive. You know, it's not going to be an easy one. But you know, there is some hope, and it's pretty technical that I won't get into how it could happen, but we're working hard on trying to make it happen. H.R. 4701 is a bill that, in essence, tries to prioritize tick-borne disease research by forming like a working group made of some federal agencies, but also non-federal partners, such as physicians and, importantly, patient advocates. Mm-hmm. And so it's that working group is going to, you know, in essence, coordinate interagency activity, you know, try to examine research priorities, ultimately provide, you know, congressional oversight and accountability with respect to tick-borne disease research. And you know, the way it does that is by creating this working group, and ultimately the working group has to identify gaps in the understanding about tick-borne diseases and how the treatment outcomes are working, and provide within 2 years a report back to Congress, and then within 3 years, you know, a strategic plan on how to deal with it. Everybody wants things done really, really fast. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's not like the way the government works. So this is like really just a first step towards what I hope will be lots more funding. You know, today the government funds $25 million for research into Lyme disease. It's laughable. And with the stroke of a pen, you know, they could fund $250 million, it would be like a rounding error in the government. Sounds like a lot of money, and it would be meaningful for Lyme disease research and tick-borne disease research, but easy for the government to do. So, you know, I wish I were a massive optimist about our knowledge of these diseases, but we are far, far away. We need literally like hundreds of millions of dollars to mm-hmm. To figure out why people are getting sick, remaining sick, what the mechanism is for creating better diagnostic tests, creating therapies that actually work and get people better, because way too many people are getting sick, and, you know, massive numbers of those people are remaining ill, which is tragic.
Very much so. And this is though a huge step in the right direction, that you've gotten it to the federal government level.
It has been a massive effort by a huge portion of the Lyme community. I mean, LDA and Pat Smith did a great job with the members of her constituents. The PAL folks did a terrific job. I think something like 180 or 200 Lyme disease groups signed up for or signed on in support of this bill, which has never happened before. And it shows you the power of us working together. Nothing the IDSA wants more is there's nothing that the IDSA wants more than us fighting with each other and not working together. So this just shows you what can be done if we all work together.
Yeah, many hands make light work, right? That old expression. And here we are all around the country, people from California, the Mid-Atlantic, you know, up here in New England, New York State, working feverishly to make this not an invisible disease, but something that's really present and knowledgeable. And I would love to see a Lyme screening, like the way we used to have tuberculosis screenings when we were kids.
Yeah, have everybody take it. I think we'll find that, you know, many, many more people than we know about are walking around with this. It can be a ticking time bomb, as we know, for people remain dormant and then come out later in their life. And so it's critical that we get our arms around it. I do want to address one thing. I know I've got limited time. You know, there's a small group within the Lyme community who I think are still don't believe this is a good bill. And, you know, I would say the reason that they're worried about it is because the bill provides a framework for creating this working group, but it doesn't say specifically who will be on it. It says patient advocates, but there's a lot of fear right now that it will be stacked against us. And, you know, I think it's up to the legislators to make sure it doesn't happen. I've gotten assurances from Congressman Gibson and some of the senators who are working on this that they will ensure it doesn't happen. You know, one of the complaints I've heard is that this somehow might make things worse because, you know, the reports that come back will be congressionally ordained and, you know, that this will somehow be a nail in the coffin. You know, right now we're in the coffin, unfortunately. I mean, we have no power. You know, the NIH and CDC and IDSA drive the agenda. And it's critically important that we sit at the table and have a say in these issues and how dollars are being spent. And the one thing that I have found is that when I sit down with people, even the ones that people think are evil, and I've had lots of conversations over the years with people on the other side of the debate, the hard thing for them is that the research is on our side. Now, they don't publicly come out and say it, but you know, the more we spend time rationally and in a science-based way talking about, you know, what we know is true, that that the science is not proven with respect to chronic infection. And frankly, you know, the science and research that's been done certainly points to the fact that at least in some people, people remain chronically infected. And the more we have the opportunity to sit down and talk about that rationally with people, the better we'll be over time.
I understand, David. Thank you so much. I hate to say goodbye to you.
It's a great pleasure, and you know, we really appreciate working with you on this and other and all the events that you've done with us, and we look forward to continuing to talk about this. It's a dialogue, and you know, it's an iterative process where you take a step forward and you think you're moving in the right direction, and two steps back, something happens, and then two steps forward and one step back. But you know, hopefully, we're directionally moving in the right manner.
It's a tango. thank you so much, David Roth. You were so informative and helpful for us, and I can't wait to have you on again. We'll cover some more ground together, and congratulations on all your hard work at TBDA.
Appreciate it. It's there's way more that needs to be done.
Oh, well, keep it up. You're a master at this, and audience, stay tuned. We're coming back with John Donnelly after our break.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you are ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com, or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-6463. mind.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit limelightradio.com.
Hi, this is Victoria Cohen, psychotherapist and soul coach here in Seattle. I'm giving a workshop called Thank Goodness for Gratitude at East West Bookshop, September 21st from 1 to 4. Gratitude works its magic as an antidote to challenging emotions, offering us an uplifting alternative to fear, anger, resentment, envy, regret, and depression.
Call to register for the event at 206-523-3726 or online at eastwestbookshop.com.
Hey, do you like free stuff? The Dr. Pat Show has an amazing giveaway program doing weekly giveaways on Facebook and Twitter. Go to facebook.com/thedrpatshow and click the like button. Then go to twitter.com/thedrpatshow and click the follow button. Then you can play along and enter to win some amazing prizes. Again, that's facebook.com/thedrpatshow and twitter.com/thedrpatshow.
Gonna break away just to wait and see.
Welcome back to Limelight Radio, everyone. This is Katina Macris, and it is the second half of our show today with a guest that some of you remember, John Donnelly, who biked across America last year, and we followed his trek week by week. It was such a pleasure to be part of the Bite Back for the Cure campaign. So if you're new to Limelight Radio, let me tell you about John Donnelly. He was raised in New Jersey and has dealt with Lyme disease personally, first with a childhood infection and then a decimating relapse during his college years. In May 2012, John graduated from Colgate University and began working in sales in New York City. And I have to say also, John was a lacrosse player, all conference and all team, all country actually, lacrosse player, but illness from Lyme disease took him down, even this tremendous athlete. But while working in New York, John felt a strong desire to take action against Lyme and do something that played a lasting role in his life, and he was inspired to join the Tick-Borne Disease Alliance and launch Bite Back for a Cure, a national grassroots campaign to build support for the fight against this devastating impact of tick-borne diseases. Last summer and fall, John biked across the country on his own bicycle, 3,000 miles, to build support and fight against the devastating illnesses, and had tremendous community outreach during this campaign. Since then, John has become even more involved in awareness and has now taken on the position as co-chairman of Tick-Borne Disease Alliance's junior board. So welcome, John, to Limelight Radio.
Hi, Katina. Thanks so much for having me on again.
Yeah, I should say welcome back, actually, right?
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Last year, I think, what did we do? September to December 1st, we met with you every week.
Exactly. Once a week for, a couple months of that trip, and then a few times afterwards.
I know. It was such an enormous journey you went on, and so many lives that you impacted and communities that you touched. And the conversation continues because now you're here with TBDA, and you've now on the junior board. We talked about that. And now there's more events coming, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that trip was really, single best learning experience of my life. Met with hundreds of patients, physicians, and researchers, and afterwards was, even more inspired to raise awareness about this really complicated medical health crisis. And so I'm working full-time for TBDA now, And, you know, over the past few months, we've been doing a lot of events, a lot of walk, run, and golf events, one of which you were a part of. And we have a lot going on this weekend in Nashua, New Hampshire.
Yeah, let's talk about that because you and I are there together. I have to give a shout out to Nashua, New Hampshire. People, Nashua, New Hampshire is the happening place this weekend. It is just off of Route 3, easy access from Boston. Anywhere in northern New England, you can get to Nashua quite easily. John, let's tell people what's going on.
Absolutely. So we're partnering with the Greater Nashua Lyme Disease Alliance, and that's headed by Marianne O'Connor and Kelly Downing. And they reached out to me a few months ago wanting to put on a walk and run, their first 5K. So that is happening this Saturday at Mine Falls Park in Nashua, New Hampshire. We're going to have registration at 10:30, opening remarks at 11:30, and the race starts at noon. So really excited about this event. It's been pretty awesome to see how everything's coming together. We should have over 100 people just based on what we're seeing online with the registration. And we're very close to hitting our fundraising goal also. So we're really excited about this event.
This is going to be great. And I have to say the weather forecast is great. And that park is beautiful. And for people that are nervous about tick exposure, the running trail, from what I could see, is very wide, clear cut. And it's not, you know, with draping foliage.
Absolutely. It looks like a really beautiful venue. And really, this event is just so needed. It's our first event in New Hampshire. But, you know, as you know, being from the area, you know, New Hampshire always leads the nation in the highest incidence rate. So we're partnering for Greater Nashua Lyme Disease Alliance. A portion of the funds are going to go to TBA and help our ongoing efforts to, you know, raise awareness, promote advocacy, and fund research, you know, specifically research at finding a better diagnostic test. But the majority of funds are going to help Greater Nashua Lyme Disease Alliance. And this will be a local organization that will, you know, raise awareness and promote advocacy and also just be a great educational and human resource for people in the area. So we're very excited to be partnering with them for this event and hopefully, you know, provide the groundwork for its development.
I think it's wonderful. I reside in New Hampshire, and a lot of people remember from my book, Out of the Woods, Healing Lyme Disease, Body, Mind, and Spirit. I got sick in the summer of 2000. No one even tested me for Lyme disease back in those days. They weren't even thinking Lyme in New Hampshire. They were thinking, oh, this is Connecticut, New Jersey kind of illness. And you're right, New Hampshire is like the leading state for infections per capita. And
exactly. I think it's like per 100,000 people, it leads the nation.
Yes, and it's sad to say, because I know a lot about the statistics in our state, parts of New Hampshire, southern region in particular, 90% of the ticks are infected. So it's really like almost like a micro habitat for, you know, high levels of infection. So this is tremendous that TBDA is partnering with the Nashua group. We're hoping we're going to get some good media coverage and bring this even beyond just a state topic to a regional and maybe even a national topic. Would be wonderful.
Absolutely. We're very much looking forward to it.
Yes. And Kelly Downing, a lot of people remember her story. Kelly was on Katie Couric, right?
Yeah, she was last year. I believe it was last October she was on that show, and she shared her story. She was, you know, literally wheelchair bound because of this disease. And it's remarkable, you know, the recovery that she's made. And we've worked with Kelly on a number of events now. She spoke at the Senate staff briefing, gave a really emotional recounting of her battle with Lyme disease, and had a huge impact on people there. So definitely looking forward to partnering with her again.
I know it's going to be a tremendous day for everyone. And even if you don't want to participate in the walk or the run, you just want to come and be part of the whole experience and festivities, please come join us, because, you know, the speakers, the music, the camaraderie of everybody, The whole community of folks working together. It's a wonderful experience. John, you and I have been to lots of events together, and I have to say the energy of these events is uplifting. It's not depressive. It's a very much, you get a high off of it.
Yeah, I think this will be a really positive event, especially the speaking portion. So the welcoming ceremony and then closing remarks. I'll be speaking. Kelly is going to speak, and then Marianne O'Connor also. And then you'll be giving the keynote address out there. So definitely encourage people to come out, regardless of whether you're a walker or a runner. It will just be a great day to learn more about these diseases and listen to some inspirational speeches.
They're wonderful, I have to say. So listen, audience, stay with us. We're going to come back. There's more to talk about this weekend because John Donnelly and I have a second event together and another awareness event and philanthropic event to share. But it's time for station break. This is Limelight Radio with Katina Makris. We'll be right back.
Get sophisticated with David and Philip Zarza. David and Philip touch on topics such as human potential, spirituality, pop culture, and purposeful living. Experience an insightful reading from David on what the universe has in store for you, or reconnect with a departed loved one. Philip can look into an issue or anything else you may be dealing with. Go to getsophisticated.com. That's SOPHISTIGAYTED.com or call 206-420-8660.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Hi, this is Victoria Cohen, psychotherapist and soul coach here in Seattle. I'm giving a workshop called Thank Goodness for Gratitude at East West Bookshop, September 21st from 1 to 4. Gratitude works its magic as an antidote to challenging emotions, offering us an uplifting alternative to fear, anger, resentment, envy, regret, and depression.
Call to register for the event at 206-523-3726 or online at eastwestbookshop.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Makris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Dancing, dancing.
Welcome back to Limelight Radio. Thank you, Brian. Dancing Machine, that's a fun song.
Thank you.
So we're visiting with John Donnelly from Tick-Borne Disease Alliance. And John, what a weekend in southern New Hampshire we've got. We've got to tell them about part two, what's happening Sunday night.
Right. So, this one's really exciting. We're partnering with the Saks Fifth Avenue store in Merrimack, New Hampshire, and that's a night event. So we're going to be starting at 6 o'clock. It's going to be at the store. They're going to have a sale. They're going to have speaking engagements, and it's all going to benefit, the Tick-Borne Disease Alliance. So this is a sponsorship that we're really excited about, you know, as we move forward in raising awareness about these diseases and just gaining more credibility. I think getting these kind of corporate sponsorships are going to be crucial. So we're very excited about this event and want to make it a huge success in a few different ways.
I know. I'm really excited about this one. They're all wonderful, but the fact that here we are, mainstream America, Saks Fifth Avenue, everyone, has reached out and is hosting a charity event for Lyme disease. We've crossed the barrier. We're no longer just within our community. We've crossed the barrier. And for them to be doing promotion and marketing and flyers and notices in newspapers, this is a big step.
It's a huge step. I mean, connecting with the community is crucial, and that's what we do all the time, but also, you know, getting outside and breaking into the mainstream. So we did an event with the New York Mets in May. We're partnering with the New Jersey Devils for a game in March, which, you know, we'll talk more about later. And, you know, now getting this partnership with Saks Fifth Avenue, it's crucial. If you look at, you know, a group like the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, they have corporate sponsors with, you know, American Airlines, Geico, Warner Brothers, and, you know, hopefully, maybe not yet, but as we move forward, we get to that point.
It'll help us enormously because this is, as David Roth mentioned, we need hundreds of millions of dollars to help address the Lyme disease crisis and crack the code. And I'm really, really honored that Saks Fifth Avenue reached out to us. Everyone, you can come join us. It's going to be so much fun. 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock this Sunday, September 21st, Premium Outlet Mall in Merrimack, New Hampshire. I think it's 80 Premium Mall Road. It's right off of Route 3. DJ and dancing, refreshments. I'm doing a book signing. John and I are both talking and discount shopping. Big names, guys, Armani, Calvin Klein. You can get some good shopping in, but also come and help raise awareness and promote a wonderful charity function here for Lyme disease. So we want you to come and join us.
And we'll have all of this information on TBDA's Facebook page. So just, you know, type in Tick-Borne Disease Alliance. And then also, I should have said this earlier, but it's not too late to register for the walk and run in Nashua. So if you're interested, definitely go to our website page, which is www.tbdalliance.org. And on the landing page, you can click on Coming Events. And it'll provide a link that will bring you right to the page where you can register for this event. So definitely look for that.
That's great. And also, people, you can visit my Facebook page, Katina, K-A-T-I-N-A, Makris, M-A-K-R-I-S. Same thing. We have links up to both events there, too. So now, John, you're so active with the junior board and also so much of the event work at TBDA. I know you've got some other things coming up this fall also, don't you?
Yeah, actually, the day after the event at Saks Fifth Avenue, I'll be speaking at the Ridgefield Public Library, and we're working with Lyme Connection, which is an awareness and support group in that area that really focuses on connecting with families and children who have been impacted by Lyme disease. So I'll be speaking on a three-person panel. It'll be me, a pediatrician, and then also an educational psychologist.
Wow.
I'm speaking about, you know, because it's really challenging diagnosing kids who don't yet have the language to talk about their symptoms. And they're very, a lot of these symptoms are really vague. Like just going through it a few years ago, I'm like, wow, how would I ever have described that as a child? And I couldn't describe it, which delayed diagnosis. So, this will be an educational and I hope inspirational event as well.
I'm sure it will. That's tremendous. It's so true. You know, large population of American children are infected by tick-borne diseases. And, you know, it passes off sometimes is they've just had a flu and then they're exhausted afterwards, or now they're not, you know, focused in school, or they've got headaches, or, you know, their knees hurt, or they start, you know, with neurological symptoms like Tourette syndrome, or, you know, all kinds of, you know, OCD behavior, et cetera. It doesn't always trigger the regular pediatrician to think Lyme disease, do they?
No, I mean, the symptoms can vary, and, you know, if you don't know to look for it, you're never going to recognize it, especially with the way they manifest themselves. So I'm hoping this is a good awareness event.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, we're going to be expecting a couple hundred people there. So that's Monday at 7 p.m. at the Ridgefield Public Library.
That's great. I love that. This is a wonderful event. And, John, that, too, I'm sure is on TBDAlliance.org website.
Yes, that will be, you just click on Coming Events, and you'll find a link to that. And you can also go to Lyme Connections page, and that's just LymeConnection.org.
.org. Fabulous. And, oh my gosh, you're so busy. What's next after that? I mean, will you be on the road again on your bicycle, or?
I don't know if I'm getting back on the bike, but, you know, I'm really excited because we're going as far north as New Hampshire. And then on October 11th, we're heading down south. We're doing an event in Florence, Alabama, which is right on the Tennessee River. And this will be our first ever motorcycle ride to Bite Back for a Cure.
Oh,
so,
fun.
So it's going to be an entirely new audience and, you know, participants in both, you know, the riders who are going to be there, and then also just increasing much-needed awareness about Lyme disease in the South.
That's tremendous. That's excellent. The South is in big trouble. We've talked about that on air before. We've had guests on representing the South. So that's October 11th, you said, right?
Yep, October 11th, and it's at McFarland Park. We'll have all of this put up on Facebook and TBDA's website. So if you're in the area, you know, we know we are going to have local advocates coming, but you know, it's important. We want to make this a success, and like all the events we want it to be, you know, continuing each year. So
wonderful.
We'll have all that put up.
That's fantastic. Motorcycles to the rescue now with Lyme disease. And, you know, before we finish up, I just have to say you and I had the great good fortune last week to join For Lyme Golf, that wonderful event in Bolton, Mass. Huge, huge success, wasn't it?
Huge success, and, you know, a very small amount of time that they had to put it together, but it just kind of speaks to the type of people, the Catalanos and sergeants who organize this event are. And, you know, there's a lot of people who care about them. And the really remarkable thing about that event is, you know, not a lot of people there had been personally impacted by Lyme disease, but just seeing these families and what their children have gone through, you know, it touched them. They know that it's real, and they supported it. So we had 100 golfers on the course during the day. We had over 150 people at the banquet reception, and we raised $50,000, which is incredible.
Incredible, and it was so heartfelt and a deeply moving day for all of us that were there. And it's always my true honor and privilege to be a speaker at these events and to join you, John. We both have walked the Lyme road together. We know the insides of this illness, what it feels like to be, you know, so tragically decimated, and then to make the journey back out to the land of living and light. I am honored and blessed to work with you in all these different ways. And thank you for joining me today on Limelight Radio.
Thank you for having me, Katina. Really appreciate it.
Oh, I love having you on air. Thank you. You are such a wonderful inspiration to our audience. And come join us, everyone, in Nashua this weekend. If you want to join us at Mine Park and on Saturday, or Saks Fifth Avenue on Sunday evening, 6 p.m. So visit Facebook page and learn more, or Lyme tickbornedisealliance.org, and come see us. So thanks, John Donnelly. Thank you, Brian, my producer and audience. We'll join you again next week. This is Limelight Radio with Katina Macris.
You've been listening to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Get ready for some of the most provocative conversation with leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. If you've missed any part of this hit radio show, visit LimelightRadio.com. That's LimelightRadio.com. We'll see you next week on Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. Then I go to my brother, and I say, brother, help me, please. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
What if there was no right or wrong way to be a great parent? Join Access Consciousness Facilitator Glenna Rice as she and Dr. Pat invite you to be the questionable parents you truly are and empower you to know and give the awareness required to create ease and joy with your children. Join Dr. Pat and Glenna as they focus on parenting for the modern family. Tune in every month to the Dr. Pat Show on air and online at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, identify your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst and clairvoyant who uses her intuitive and energetic gifts to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times, and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
Tune in to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to lightbearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life.
You've been listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the new mainstream in radio.
Get sophisticated with David and Philip Zarza. David and Philip touch on topics such as human potential, spirituality, pop culture, and purposeful living. Experience an insightful reading from David on what the universe has in store for you, or reconnect with a departed loved one. Philip can look into an issue or anything else you may be dealing with. Go to GetSophisticated.com. That's SophisticagayTed.com or call 206-420-8660.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Hi, this is Victoria Cohen, psychotherapist and soul coach here in Seattle. I'm giving a workshop called Thank Goodness for Gratitude at East West Bookshop, September 21st from 1 to 4. Gratitude works its magic as an antidote to challenging emotions, offering us an uplifting alternative to fear, anger, resentment, envy, regret, and depression.
Call to register for the event at 206-523-3726 or online at eastwestbookshop.com.